Listen up, folks, gather round, I've got a voice, a reason to be found. Bill Federer, the man of the hour, comprehensive knowledge of political power. He's a speaker, an author, a researcher too, diving deep in topics that are taboo. His expertise on Islam, second to none. Shining light on truths that need to be won. A political commentator, unafraid to speak, bringing awareness to the issues that's need. Federer, the voice we all need, educating the masses with remarkable speed. Listen up, folks, gather round, I've got a voice of reason to be found. Bill Federer, the man of the hour, comprehensive knowledge of political power. He's a speaker, an author, a researcher too, diving deep in topics that are taboo. His expertise on Islam, second to none. Shining light on truths that need to be won. A political commentator, unafraid to speak, bringing awareness to the issues that sneak. Bill Federer, the voice we all need, educating the masses.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Wednesday, the 24th day of April, year of our 2024. Welcome to John Moore Show. We begin live broadcasting right now, a Republic broadcasting with my show, the John Moore Show, and I'm proud to say we do begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag, gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The proper tip of the day, pretty simple, buy ammunition, good quality ammunition. Don't buy steel-cased ammunition unless your particular firearm is designed and meant to use steel ammunition from the get-go, which most aren't, by the way. It's not going to get any cheaper, so get it now while you can. All right, we don't have Bill Federer with us at the moment. We're hoping that he'll join us soon. He's a busy guy with lots of commitments, and if and when Bill Federer joins us, we will certainly bring him on board. In the meantime, we'll go to open lines at 512-248-8252. I want to welcome back all my YouTube listeners. We took about 1 year off getting some things squared away, dealing with the issues with copyright things that we think we have all squared away. And I have 20,000 YouTube subscribers. And we began our YouTube archives a couple of days ago, Monday, the 22nd day of April. So it's good to be back on YouTube. All right. It looks like a lot of things are happening in regards to Donald Trump. At one of my favorite places to get the news, a woman named Julie Kelly has revealed that the White House was colluding with the Department of Justice, National Archives, FBI, and others to manufacture that case against President Trump for improper storage, improper custody of these classified documents. The whole thing was contrived. The whole thing was trumped up, shall we say, with White House involvement, which has been denied for the last 2 years, in case you don't know. This is major news. This is really major news. And we all need to be aware of that, the nature of the corruption at the very highest levels that has caused President Trump all these legal issues. The Congress has authorized $90 million, or is it $90 billion? I've lost track of these millions and billions. to Ukraine, more money to go down the rat hole, more money to pay for the retirement of various government employees, more money to pay for condominiums in the Monte Carlo for the corrupt officials. It's Ukraine has become to be known as one of the most corrupt governments on the face of the earth. They really have. In the meantime, people really paying the price in blood and death are the Ukrainian citizens, who are good people. They're great people. And my heart goes out to the Ukrainian people who are paying the price for the decisions and actions of their corrupt government. It's a very sad situation. But that's true of all modern warfare, it seems like. The civilians are the ones that pay the price. I read that the Ukrainian embassies around the world are refusing to provide help to Ukrainian men that are of fighting age. They're most likely draft dodgers, aren't they? Why would you want to volunteer to fight on behalf of a corrupt government? Why would you do that? Well, obviously, many tens of thousands of Ukrainian young men have decided not to waste their precious lives to defend this Ukrainian government. Now, there are prognosticators that are saying that the war is lost. I don't know that I agree with them, but that's one of the things being put out there, for whatever it's worth. Moving to vaccines, I ran across interesting speech. It's only a couple minutes long. Maybe I can pull this up here real quick. A bishop, I'm not sure if it's a Catholic bishop or a Eastern Orthodox. The guy looks more Eastern Orthodox to me. And he's given a speech, which it's only a couple minutes long. It's in the excerpt of where he's talking about the vaccines being as wrong can be. Let's see if I can pull up that guy here real quick. He's a bishop. He's got all that outfit that the bishops wear, all that fancy garb, which that goes back for centuries, doesn't it? Mari Emanuel is his name, Bishop Mari Emanuel. And it's only a couple minutes long. Let's see how long that thing is. I'll have it posted on my website before the day is over. He's really very pumped up on this and very emotional, obviously, as well he should be. Let's see if we can see how long this thing is. Couple of minutes. It's unusual for a bishop to make that kind of statement publicly, but he did, and I say God bless him for doing so. He'll have a great impact on a lot of people, and hopefully where the action is now and has been for quite a while is to prevent the children from getting vaccines. That's all the adults are going to get it. Well, they got it already, the vaccine, and at this point, probably five or six boosters. Any child we could prevent from getting any vaccine may very well save a life. The CDC is now up to 90, that's 90 vaccines before an American child reaches 18 years of age. How crazy is that? Well, there's an excellent documentary, one-word title, Vaxxed, with two X's, V-A-X-X-E-D, Victor Alpha X-ray, X-ray, Echo Delta. Or the follow-up video, which is good. I think the first one stands on its own as being excellent to have people understand, comprehend the true nature of all vaccines. I will never get any vaccine of any kind ever again. That's my decision, based on my knowledge and what I've been able to learn about these things. They're all horrible, every one of them. I think I probably had a tetanus vaccine probably maybe 20 years ago or so. Before that, I didn't have any vaccines since my, what they call the overseas shot series before I went to Vietnam, which was four or five vaccines to help us to be safe from things like bubonic plague and so forth. I know I didn't like getting it on one hand, but at the time I felt like I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof having received that vaccine. That was a time they used these or thought to be the modern way to inject medicine into people. They had these pneumatic guns with no needle that forced the substance, in this case a vaccine, into your body under pressure. And what they found out after a couple of years was that when you got the shot in that manner, you also got a small dose of the blood from the guy in front of you. They went for a couple of years without knowing that, apparently. They're pretty crazy. We have a lot to be looking at, a lot to be aware of, a lot to be concerned about, keeping in mind that ultimately it's a spiritual war. We need to always keep that in the front of our brain, that ultimately it's a spiritual war, what we're looking at here. I do advocate that people get their spiritual house in order. Personally, I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. I that's what my heart leads me to do and leads me to believe. You need to do whatever your heart leads you to believe. Hopefully, it'd be to understand and comprehend that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That's where true salvation is. But it can and should be a daily event for you to pray daily. I do it myself daily. And I would like to see everybody do that daily. I think it'll help all of us. Churches have been struggling to keep their numbers up, to keep the pews filled up with people for decades. After 9/11/01, there was a surge of church attendance that went on for a number of months. That dropped off within a year or less. We need to get back to church. We really do. I really look forward to the little country church I attend every Sunday, the Viburnum Free Will Baptist Church. I find it very heart lifting and love filled, and a great way to start the week. It helps keep me grounded, quite frankly, and it's something I look forward to. A home church that you're comfortable with the pastor and the message that pastor delivers is a great thing, and hopefully you'll be able to do that. So let's scroll down here to Steve Quayle's website, stevequayle.com. It appears that artificial intelligence is involved in the stock market. I've known that computers have been involved in the stock market for quite a few years. It never occurred to me that the AI would be involved in the stock market as well. And of course, it makes perfect sense that they would. Why not? We need to keep in mind that AI will lie because, well, they've been programmed to lie. And it's something that I think everybody needs to be aware of. I'm not a big guy in the stock market. I have very little in the stock market myself. No matter how much you got in the stock market, you need to be aware of the involvement of AI in the stock market. That is, depending on the resources, financial resources behind the AI, could have a dramatic influence on the stock market. Which brings to cryptocurrency. I have a nephew that's been involved in cryptocurrency off and on for several years, and quite frankly, I don't get it. I was advised to buy a cryptocurrency, it's been 10 years ago, by some friends. They never could explain it in a manner that made sense to me. It sounds like a handful of nothing, as far as I can tell. What are you investing in? You're investing in ones and zeros in a computer someplace. That's your investment? Really? What do you own? Ones and zeros in a computer someplace? At least with the stock market, you own part of a company. That's real. That's very real. Other investments, of course, more traditional would be real estate, precious metals, gold and silver, for example, that are quite real. And any investment, my general advice when it comes to cryptocurrency is use it as something that it's discretionary income, discretionary money that you can afford to lose it. Anything you need to count on in the future, I would not have that be in cryptocurrency myself. And it's typically younger people, under age 50, that are involved in cryptocurrency. And they can go on and on about how safe and secure it is. Well, I bring up the topic of Sam Bankman-Fried, and they get real quiet. There's always a human element when it comes to fraud and deception and theft. Sam Bankman-Fried, most likely the largest financial crime in the history of the country, maybe the history of the world, that he perpetrated, mostly using cryptocurrency. Now, I'm going to stay clear of that. I really am. And whether you do, of course, is up to you. But cryptocurrency, I think, is a big mistake for most of us, myself included. Another segue here. Something I've talked about off and on for several years. That would be the Antarctic. A fascinating, fascinating topic. At least I find it fascinating. I was at a fundraiser for General Flynn in Dallas a couple of years ago. A man sitting next to me at the banquet table turned out to be a retired Air Force pilot, C-130 pilot. That's the that beautiful transport plane that the Air Force has had for half a century or more. And it turned out he had been to the Antarctic on multiple times. So I asked him, can you tell me what you took out of there? He says, no, John, I can't. I'm under non-disclosure agreements. I can't do that. I'll lose my pension. I said, okay, I respect that. I just learned a little bit more about the Operation High Jump. Admiral Richard Byrd went down there, I think it was 1940. And it looks like we now have with us my friend Bill Federer. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good to have you with us, sir. Well, the world moves forward. Each successive week is a bit more strange and a bit more bizarre than the week before, isn't it, sir?
It is. You can sort of feel like we're on the river headed toward a waterfall.
Roger that. There was a number of movies made with that scenario. Well, Bill, something has caught my attention, I'm sure you as well, is the sheer number of pro-Hamas, which is pro-terrorist groups, on these college campuses, including instructors. That kind of caught me off guard. How about you, sir?
Yeah, from what I've read, they're all manufactured. It's financed through the typical George Soros-type groups for the perception of a public groundswell. So Trump has a groundswell. So whenever he goes into a place, you'll have this enormous crowd. I think it's always humorous when you see him filling up stadiums and auditoriums, and
right.
And Biden like having scarcely a room full of people.
Right.
But they want to generate the appearance of a grassroots uprising, and obviously they use college students who have been indoctrinated with wokeness. And I was made aware of this years ago. I spoke in Rapid City, South Dakota, and they had about 400 people at this event at a really nice hotel. And the hotel kept getting phone calls to cancel. And the hotel employee that was in charge of organizing events was about to cancel. And the lady that was on our side who organized it, she got all the businessmen in town to call the hotel and said, if you cancel this, we'll never do business with you again. And so she's like, well, okay, I'll keep it going. Like a half a dozen college kids showed up. They were the ones that were making all this noise, making all these phone calls, half a dozen college kids. And after like 15 minutes, they left.
Right.
I even went out there and invited them in, and they just left. And they said how they got a tweet from their professor. It was called Indivisible, or whatever was the name of their little group. And the professor said, you get extra credit if you show up.
Okay.
So that's where this is coming from. One other time I spoke in Des Moines, Iowa, and they had a library with an auditorium, and they were organizing this event. And I had just written my book on the history of Islam, and they were getting all these calls to cancel and editorials in the newspaper and everything. And so I show up, and I've got, you know, a bunch of guys that are doing security, and they're ready for bear, you know.
Right.
Well, there's two 80-year-old people. It's an old 80-year-old couple, and they stood at the door, and they were passing out pamphlets that says the Pope says we're supposed to love homosexuals and Muslims.
Really?
That was the great resistance, this 80-year-old couple. And so their bark is bigger than their bite, but they want to, you know, contact the news media and contact, they want to make it look like.
Of course.
When I talked to Phyllis Schlafly years ago, for those not familiar, she was a big conservative leader. Trump went to her funeral. You are quite well aware of her.
I knew Phyllis, yes. Yep.
It's funny, though, how life works. I was at an event in Phoenix yesterday, and, there's a gentleman there, and I'm visiting with him. I mentioned Phyllis Schlafly's name, and he's like, oh, I've never heard of her. It's like, wow, you can be an enormous national leader for 50 years, and, you know, a few years later, people don't even know, have never heard of you. But that's the way it works. We only care about what the Lord thinks about us. But Phyllis said how when SDS, the Student Democrat Socialists, or whatever that
Student Democratic Society, right?
There you go. And Saul Alinsky was one of their organizers. But she said they would go onto a campus, and they, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, would have one mimeograph machine, which is the old version of a copy machine.
Right.
And they would be in the basement, and they would just create letterheads of, you know, this organization is against the Vietnam War, and this other organization is against the Vietnam War. And they would pass these out on pieces of, you know, pamphlets that would be all kinds of different colors. And right. It gave the appearance of lots of different groups. And it was just a half a dozen kids in the basement of this one building with a mimeograph machine.
Right.
And so the idea is they wanted to make it appear they were bigger than they were.
Of course.
And so I think they've been perfecting that. But when they were doing the Black Lives Matter, there was lots of stories of them simply busing people from one state to another during the election. The 1,000 mules video, I think Dinesh D'Souza did.
Right.
Somebody had gotten a hold of the cell phone records where they would ping the cell phone. So when you have a cell phone, it is constantly pinging towers.
Right.
So that's how your GPS works, and that's how they can find you to send the phone call to wherever your phone is. And so that data is available for marketing purposes, and companies will buy it. Well, they bought this information, and they found these, and they had a computer program that ran a numbers match, and they kept saying, okay, wherever there's a riot, they would get the cities and get the cell phone tower records, and they would look at all the cell phone numbers that were in that city, in that area, when those riots were going on. And then they would do it in another city, in another city, another city. And they did it on January 6th. And lo and behold, these same numbers keep showing up. And you have people like Van Jones and some of the Obama circle of people And so there, it's an orchestrated crisis. And you know, during the Cold War, this tactic, the color revolution, and your experience in that field is probably the top of the list as far as knowing these insider tactics.
Oh yeah.
And I remember you sharing about writing pamphlets and how the psychological warfare type of swaying the public's mind to
well, that was my job in Vietnam. I was in psychological warfare, and we printed leaflets, we printed magazines, we did radio and TV shows. It was at the time state of the art as far as technology. We had three in my unit in the Mekong Delta. We had three 5-color offset presses. We had a professional photographer from New York who'd been drafted. Our 3 or 4 illustrators, 2 of them had been drafted from Hallmark cards. Professional pressmen who were pressmen in the private sector. And in fact, we were given a presidential unit citation after the Tet Offensive for the work we generated during the Tet Offensive to help convince the Viet Cong to defect and come to our side. So I was in the middle of it. In fact, I was just thinking the other day, Bill, I was writing the intelligence summaries for my battalion, which are probably still in the Pentagon. I think the Pentagon still has records from the War of 1812, don't you think?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
They never throw away anything. They keep it all.
Well, that's fascinating. And what were some of the things that you put in those, and then they were in the Vietnamese language,
well,
right?
Yeah, obviously. Well, the average Viet Cong was a teenage boy who had been drafted against his will when the unit, Viet Cong unit, came through their village. And when one of these guys would defect, we would get to them very quickly. They had a special place they kept them, which was they got medical treatment. They got 3 meals a day, clothes, and they also got a sort of job training to be a carpenter's apprentice or a truck driver or something like that. And when they were graduated, they were there about 2 months. When they would graduate, they would get new national ID with no reference they'd ever been a Viet Cong. Anyway, we get to these guys within 24 hours. We would tape record their voice talking about the good treatment they received, take their photograph, and then have a handwritten statement that they would, if they couldn't write, somebody would write on their behalf. In the Vietnamese language. And the following day, we'd be dropping leaflets over their buddies in the jungle with their photograph on the leaflet and playing their voice from the loudspeakers on our aircraft, where in his own voice, he's telling his buddies how great it was to defect and come over to the side of the South Vietnamese government. So we had a good system down that worked very efficiently, sir.
Wow, wow. Well, I think you need to write a book. That's fascinating.
Well, I could write several books. you know, one book per murder case, basically. but yeah, it was a very exhilarating experience to be in the middle of that, to have all the responsibility I had as a. When I got off the plane in Vietnam, Bill, I'd been out of high school 15 months. Mm-hmm. So a lot of responsibility for a very young man.
Wow! Wow! Well, yeah. So it was designed to mentally sway those other soldiers.
It didn't take much. If you didn't want to be there in the first place as a Viet Cong, it didn't take much to convince you to defect. We also had a special leaflet where we would pay them cash for any weapons or explosives they turned in. So much cash for a pistol, so much for a rifle, so much for a hand grenade. That gave a bit more incentive. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Company!
Website is thelibertyman.com. We had to my COVID panel several times a week, including today, more than 200 links to articles and videos by world-class scientists and doctors such as Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer. He's now saying that all the COVID vaccinations are meant to cause blood clots. These are not side effects. These are the direct intended effects. So you might want to check that out. And, of course, the other products there that will help you achieve your goals of health and wellness, including the Energy Cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, the Energy Cleaner will help. If you have pain issues, same thing. The Energy Cleaner will help. And keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. Visiting with Bill Federer, his website is AmericanMinute.com. I say again, AmericanMinute.com. Author of about 25 or more books. What we like to talk about a lot is what every American needs to know about the Quran. The subtitle is A History of Islam in the United States. Well, Bill, getting back to the earlier part of our conversation, I knew there was some presence of Muslims and, I should say, terrorist supporters on these American campuses, but they've been activated, especially in Columbia University in New York City. And the response to some of these university presidents has been rather disappointing, hasn't it been, sir?
Yes, and it's on a basic level, Saudis have bought influence. They've donated money for a long time to these universities. One of the notorious examples was when Obama went to Georgetown, a Catholic university, Jesuit, if I'm not mistaken, the first Catholic university with Bishop John Carroll that founded it. Anyway, when Obama went there, they covered up all the crosses, all the Christian-themed artwork with curtains for Obama to give a speech. And they do a little digging and find out, well, gee, a lot of students are from the Middle East, and they're wealthy, and their parents have been donating money. And I was up in Ohio, and there was a Christian school, and it was one of the parents was telling me the progression of this particular school. They're always struggling for money, these little Christian schools. And some Muslim parents want to put their children in there, and they say, well, we're a Christian school. They go, well, we don't care, that's fine. And so they put them in, and then they have their annual church fundraiser, and you know, people give a little money here and give a little money there. Well, this Muslim family gives a lot of money, and the next year gives a lot of money, and then they say, you know, you have a bacon served in the cafeteria, and you know, that's sort of offensive to us, and you know, could you not do that? And they're like, well, you know, there's plenty of other stuff to eat. Okay, we'll leave that off the menu. And then they're like, well, you know, you have you know, all these crosses in every room and stuff, and you know, we found that a little offensive. Like, okay, we'll tone back on that. And you know, you have you know, different doors going into the schools, and the Muslim students sort of like to have their own door going in and out, and they like to have a little prayer room, you know, during the middle of the day. And it's one thing after another until pretty soon they've caved, nobody in the school can say anything bad about Islam, and even if it's true history, it's like, oh, we're not going to talk about that. And so it's like a drug dealer takes over a neighborhood two ways, with either guns and gets people into fear and they submit, or the drug dealer's so nice, he's giving them free stuff. He's giving them free drugs until they get hooked. And then you want some more free drugs. You're going to have to incrementally give up your freedom. I was with Michael O'Fallon, and he ran Sovereign Cruises for decades, a fairly large cruise organization where they would do these big cruises for lots of different groups, and he witnessed some of these globalist billionaires that he would organize cruises for, but he'd be a great guest for you someday. But he talked about how the Klaus Schwab, George Soros, those type of people would give large amount of money to Christian seminaries and say, no strings attached. We just, you know, like your message. Here's $1 million. And they come back the next year and they said, could you use another million? It's like, well, sure, yeah. And then the next year. And after a bunch of years of them being used to this infusion of millions of dollars into their budget, they say, you know, we really like the immigration issue, you know, of letting people across the border. And, you know, we still give you money, but, you know, could you talk a little less about securing the borders and, you know, maybe how we're supposed to be, you know, nice to the immigrants and bring them in. And then, you know, we like this other issue. And one by one, they get these Christian seminaries to go woke. And it's through a donation offensive, so to speak. And, it's buying influence. The Bible talks about it, a bribe turns the heart of those that receive it. And so most people are on the poor end of the spectrum, and they don't, they're like, you know, I'm happy for anybody to give me anything. But on the other side of the spectrum, if you are receiving things, and same thing with candidates, if you receive large amount of money from donors and then the phone rings and they tell you how they feel about a certain issue, you're going to be in a between a rock and a hard place, because you know you've given speeches wanting to be against something, and this big donor just hung up the phone and told you that he's in favor of it. What are you going to do?
Well, if you take your if you take their money, you take their control, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. The charm offensive is one of the words I was looking for, but now I found it fascinating your experience, so that was in the middle, the Far East is where you were doing that
exactly, and exactly Vietnam, right, Southeast Asia.
I listened to an interview with Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z, on Tucker Carlson, and he said that when social media became a big deal with Facebook and, you know, all the others, that Obama said, well, why put somebody on the ground in one of these countries to do this type of operation? Let's just get them all to use the internet, the Facebook and everything, and we can begin to do what you were explaining, but instead of having to actually print the pamphlets, we can do it online and sway large amount of people to defect from one point of view and embrace another point of view based on the social media manipulation. And so that was what was done during the Arab Spring, where they overthrew a lot of moderate leaders in the Middle East, like in Egypt, getting rid of Mubarak and replacing with a fundamentalist, Morsi.
And, right.
So Obama was on the forefront of using social media to do these color revolution type things. And then Obama switched it from doing it overseas to doing it in America on our own population for political purposes. There was even, and you can Google it, but it's in 2016, Obama pushed through Countering Foreign Propaganda and Intelligence or Influence Act. And so it gave him himself the power to manipulate the media in America to sway the public for the sake of national security. Of course, from their point of view, it was like, oh, we're going to keep Russian influence out. But it's like, well, wait a second. You're also going to keep any other viewpoint out. That, and if it's a conservative viewpoint, well, you're going to censor that. So I find that fascinating with your experience. So what do you feel? How have you seen these tactics morph and evolve over the decades?
Well, I've been in touch with some of the men and women that are currently in PSYOPs, and it turns out that young men, and we're talking young men and women in their early to mid-20s, they realize very quickly when they look into it that the current protocols in U.S. military psychological warfare is an ideal training ground to get into the private sector in advertising. You know, the skills they learn are the necessary skills. The equipment they use is the same equipment. The tactics and techniques are the same tactics and techniques used in modern American advertising. So that's what psychological operations has become for thousands of young men and women, is to be a training ground to finish their tour of duty in the military and go directly into the private sector in advertising. And of course, that's the way it is, Bill. The U.S. military makes use of the same training and techniques and equipment that the American advertising industry makes use of. How about that?
Wow. Well, I just saw an article yesterday, and one of the websites that I go to for my news headlines is thelibertydaily.com.
Me too. I use it every day. Yep.
Yeah, and it's where it just puts a line and a link. And then you can scroll through it relatively quickly. But one of the articles was, why is the military embedding military personnel in the private companies in America.
Right. I read that article. Yep.
And so that sounds like what you were talking about, how they're using your
the reason for him being there is basically a cover story. What happens with any large organization is the people there want to and tend to take care of their own. That's the way large organizations, it doesn't matter whether it's the U.S. Army or General Motors, large organizations take care of their own people. So when you come up with a pretext, and that's all it is in my opinion, to have U.S. military officers in Fortune 500 companies, allegedly to help the military learn more about how Fortune 500 companies do what they do. The real reason that's not unstated and unwritten is this: they basically become trainees for the Fortune 500 companies where they can secure employment once their tour of duty with U.S. military ends. Your typical Army retiree is in their around 40 to 45 years old, which gives them another 20 years in a private sector. So it's a win-win situation for these officers, and it's a whole thing is a flim-flam to give a what might be called a golden parachute to these officers.
Wow. I have also been reading in the pharmaceutical industry, they'll have people working in the National Institute of Health, these government agencies that are supposed to monitor the private sector, and then they'll switch from the government position that's supposed to monitor the drug companies to working for the drug companies, and then after a while they'll go back from the drug companies back into the position of the government where they monitor it. And then the same thing in the tech industry, that you'll have people working in the government that's supposed to be monitoring, and then they work for the tech companies and Facebook, and then they go back to the government. And it's a little bit of that fascism where the big government and the big state working together with the big globalists, and the small guy is left out and squeezed out. People don't realize that they can, from the beginning of time, you would have kings, and then their inner circle elites and military, and then the masses of uneducated people that would be controlled, whether it's the pharaoh and his army, and then the masses of the entire country of Egypt was basically owned by the pharaoh. But you would keep the people ignorant on purpose because they were easier to control. Lenin, they wanted to get rid of the bourgeoisie, which is the middle class. They only want the rich, elite ruling class, and then the commoners. America was this anomaly in world history where you had a large middle class of people rising up out of poverty and becoming successful and doing what? Challenging the power of the elites.
Right.
And so we've, in the course, we've experienced a lot of freedom, a lot of innovation, a lot of, rise in standard of living. But those that have a globalist agenda, they're like, too many people that are successful. We need to get back to the old model. We need to get the middle class out of business. And so when you saw the COVID, what did it do? It shut down the small guys.
That's right.
But the Amazon big box stores that delivered stuff to your door, they stayed in business, and they got really big because stuff is being delivered rather than you having to go to the store. And the little shop on the corner that it has to close down, but not the big box stores. And then it's like we have lawfare, like they're manipulating the legal system against Trump. There's a headline today that says the White House has been manufacturing cases against Trump since 2021. So for years, the White House has been engaging in campaigning, which is illegal, by coming up with these cases against Trump. But you see the government working together with a lot of these different groups for the sake of a political agenda of, you know, weaponizing and taking control of businesses to push their agenda.
Here's our last break. We're right back.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart, Under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here, with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm visiting with Bill Federer, his website, AmericanMinute.com. Bill, we've got about 3 minutes here to wrap up your thoughts for the day and for the week, sir.
Yeah, I was looking at the headlines while we were on the break there, and there was one with J.D. Vance, and he's comparing Ukraine propaganda to Iraq propaganda from 20 years ago. And was it Fort Pierce where they have the Navy SEALs, and they have a, you know, great little theater with a presentation, and they talked about the courageous Navy SEAL operation and taking over, you know, Kuwait and all the different. But then there was just a little short line in there where it said that, you know, they were under the impression that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
And that later, you know, after the war, it came out that he, in fact, did not.
No.
And of course, they were highlighting the courage and the skill of the Navy SEALs. But you got this impression that that the pretense of the war, that the public was not led to given the whole story.
No.
Well,
the joint resolution that Congress signed had about 19 whereases. It was clear that they were concerned about Saddam having a nuclear weapons program, which, of course, he did not. General Colin Powell made a fool of himself in front of the entire planet, showing the make-believe false evidence that Saddam had a nuclear weapons program. And, of course, he resigned not long after that, in case you missed that.
Yeah, and so I personally saw there was something amiss when you had this iron grip control of the media narrative regarding the George Floyd event, that anybody that wanted to talk about this particular person's drug use that would was not allowed. And maligned. And then during the COVID, anybody with alternative cures was censored. Anybody that questioned.
That's right.
Six.
That's
well,
right.
They wanted to turn.
Bill,
that.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We'll see you next Wednesday. Good top hour break. Back with Professor McCann.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.